Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 14th, 2014. Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for our meditation is also the reason for the children's devotion and the reason why I brought some of our family games from home as to help me with the children's devotion so that the children will understand this part of God's word. All right, adults, are you listening? Here it comes. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. 'Teacher,' they asked, 'what should we do?' 'Don't collect any more than you are required to,' he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, 'And what should we do?' He replied, 'Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay.' The people were waiting expectantly. We're all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them, 'I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.' And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen." And I'll invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion. Morning. How are you doing this morning? Good. Morning. Good morning. Morning. I have here some games. These are from at home. We have our game closet. If you ever come and visit us, it's right down the hallway in the top. And as you go down the hallway, there's one closet, and you open up the door, and the top two shelves are full of games. Because whenever we have people over, we like to have the games. Okay, so we have Jenga, that's that where you build a tower. You got that? Yeah, yeah. And we have Distraction. This one you have to kind of read a little bit. You have to know how to read. This one was a favorite with my children there growing up. Remember this? Did you ever play this one? Oh, I love this game. Yeah. Well, what happens is you get these four guys and can't. Oh, yeah, and then this is a bunch of decks of cards. Now, when I was little, I didn't know a thing to do with cards. You know, I had no clue. They're just, you know, cards. And then I found out that as you grow up and you learn numbers and shapes, oh, you can play all sorts of really cool games with cards. You should ask Floyd about the games that he plays with cards. Really good games. Anyway, so here's this Candyland. We're going to take it out. And Candyland, if you play Candyland, you have to have what? You have to have a Candyland board. Yay, Candyland board. Oh, good. Okay, here's my Candyland board. And now if I'm going to play, I have to take these. These are cards, and we take turns, right? And you would flip up one, and you flip it over, it'd be orange. And so she would go from where she starts. Let's see, where does it start? Right there. She'd go orange. She'd go one space. Do you see that? One space. Okay. Now, if she were to take this orange card, she would say, "I want to go one space. Andy's way ahead of me. So I'm going to go to this orange space. Neil says, you should see. Well, I don't think so. How come she can't go to this orange space? She'd be ahead of Andy, who might be back here. It'd be cheating? Did you say she'd be cheating? What does cheating mean? Yeah, it means you skip. You don't follow the rules. You skip. And so I'm glad you're not going to cheat. That was just a pretend thing. I'm sure you don't cheat at all. Do you know what I did when I was a little boy? I cheated on some games. And I won some of my games. I cheated. So what happened is I thought I could do that more and more. And then guess what? One time I was playing with my brother, and he was old enough to see, and he saw me cheat, and he said, "Oh, cheater." And my mom heard that, and she said, "Your brother won. You lost. You can't play the game anymore today." Oh, does my mom hate me? Why did my mom do that? It hurt my feelings. It was punishment. How come? I didn't hit anybody. I cheated again, he says. I cheated. Yes, I did. I did. That's what God says. God has to say sometimes to us. In fact, a lot of times, he has to say to us, "You cheated." How do you get into God's heaven? You know how you get into God's heaven? If I would ask people out here, they would say things like this. They'd say, "Well, you have to keep the commandments. You have to listen to your mom and dad. You have to listen to your mom and dad. You have to obey the police officer." They tell you all these things you have to do. But some of these people out here would say, to get into heaven, believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what God says. But we have a part of us that says, no, we want to get to heaven our own way. We want to make God happy our own way. And what happened is that's such a hard thing to get out of our brains and out of our hearts that God wrote down in his word to make sure we would know you cannot get into heaven breaking the rules. You have to follow God's rule. And God has one rule. It's kind of cool. You know, when you play these games, when you play some of these card games, there's so many rules. Oh, there's whole pages of rules. But when you go with God's, when you're with God's gift of life and you're walking through life, there's only one rule, and that one rule is believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So can you say that rule with me? Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Try it again. Ready? Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the one rule. And if you're talking to a real little one who has a hard time remembering, you just tell them, believe in Jesus Christ. That's what you got to remember. And Jesus says, trust me. I've kept all the rules for you, all those commandments I've done. When I went to the cross, I never lost my temper. I never sit there and cursed out anybody. I was always kind. I was always following what my Heavenly Father wanted me to do. And then I took up all of your sins. The times when you cheated on games, Pastor Tolberg, when you were a little boy, I took up all of those sins and I paid for them on the cross. And when I came back to life again, he says, guess what? Believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And that's the rule we follow. So when you're playing games, if it's at my house, if you ever come over for a party sometime, or if it's at your house, or if at a cousin's house, or some other place, somewhere during Christmas, you're probably going to be playing a game. Just remember that in God's gift of life, you only have one rule. And that rule is so easy. Believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Let's fold our hands, shall we? Dear Jesus, thank you for letting us know how easy it is to get into heaven. And we're sorry we keep on messing it up. We keep on trying to disobey you and to do our own thing and to cheat, but we know that we only have one thing to do. Believe on Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Please now help me to live like I say I am, a believer in your name. Amen. And now you may go back to your seats. As we're looking at this part of God's word today, it's kind of an interesting thing. It says, Jesus said to the crowds coming out to be baptized, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, John said, the opening sentence of his sermon, his first time coming into the congregation. He puts on the robe, he goes up front, and he says, you brood of snakes in the grass. Who warned you to come here and be safe? That's an incredible thing. How come God let this happen? Because God has a message for us. He wants us to, first of all, turn back to him. Then he wants us to trust him, and then he wants us to follow him. Pretty simple. Turn back to him, trust him, follow him. Turn back to do that. That's the part that nobody likes to listen to. Turning back. That's where God says, I want you to see what you're doing and stop it. What you're doing is a sin against me. It's something that I told you not to do. Don't sin against me. Don't dishonor me by worshiping other things and trusting other things. Don't misuse my name by cursing and swearing the guy out in front of you or the guy behind you. Do not ignore my word and treat it like it's another book. I've spent a lot of time and effort to make sure that you have the words that will give you eternal life. I preserve that in one place. It's called the Bible. I want you to have it as a gift from God Almighty. Don't dishonor that by treating it as, well, yesterday's newspaper. Honor the ones who I put in authority over you. Whether you agree with them or not, honor them. Respect them. Why? Because I have a plan I'm working out, and it involves those in authority over you who are my representatives, for good or for bad. Take care of that gift of life. Not just your own, but others around you. And honor my gift of marriage. Keep sex special as I designed it to be used in marriage to keep husbands and wives closer and closer to each other. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't take what's not yours. Watch out for somebody else's reputation, not just your own. Watch out for their reputation, which means don't listen to gossip and don't let it go out. And be content with how I am directing your life because I have your very best in mind. Some days, guess what? It's cloudy. Some days you can't see 10 feet in front of you. Some days you're wondering, where did the road go? But God, our Heavenly Father, knows where the road is. So God says, trust me. I am working out your life so that you will get close to me and be with me forever in heaven. Don't run away from me. And when our Heavenly Father does that, we say, oh, I am sorry. And we see what we've done. And we fall to our knees and we're saying, I'm sorry. That's the turning part. The trusting part is just as important because if you just stay turning, what's going to happen is you're going to fall into despair. I'm not good enough to get into heaven. I'll never make it there. I can't keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. What am I going to do? The Lord says, trust me. I did keep my promises. I gave you my word. You can go back and check. Every promise about the Messiah has been kept. It fits only one person in history. And that person was born of a virgin by the name of Mary. Not a young woman, a virgin who had never known another man sexually. A virgin by the name of Mary gave birth. And the Holy One who was born of her was God's son by a miraculous birth. And Joseph, the stepdad, took care of him as if he was his own. Taught him the carpentry trade because Joseph was a carpenter. And at age 30, roughly, to about age 33, Jesus went around and he did exactly what he's supposed to do. He obeyed his parents. He treasured his father's word written down for him in the scriptures. He was kind to people.
all day and all night, Jesus would preach and teach. In fact, his family, his brothers and sisters, his mom, once went to pull him away from the crowds because he said, he's out of his mind. He's forgetting to eat. But Jesus said, no, I must be about my Father's business. His Father's business included going to the cross, where he gathered up our sins, the sins we did this last week. When we were impatient, when we were unkind, those sins were placed on Jesus. Why were they placed on him? So that we don't have to go around feeling guilty and not good enough for God. Because it's not about us. Christmas is not about us. Christmas is trusting in Jesus Christ, whom God sent. It's all about that baby, and that baby is what's worth it. So he wants us to turn, he wants us to trust, and the last thing he wants us to follow. It's interesting, when John the Baptizer goes around, he starts to preach and teach, he says all these things that just, they sting. When you put them into your own shoes, they sting. He wants you to be kind, to stop gloating over how much you have and see what you can do to alleviate somebody else's misery. As true God, he could have done that instantly, but instead he gives us the opportunity to serve others. How come? He wants us to be able to show thank you. Pretty simple. To show thank you. And you show thank you by how you live. And that depends on what you're doing. In my case, as a pastor, it means I show my thanks to God by being the best pastor I can possibly be. So what am I doing? I'm always reading God's word, always trying to find applications for God's word for God's people. I'm always learning how to better manage people to help them be the very best that they can be. If you're in business, how do you serve God? You do it by not cheating your customers, by not trying to milk them out of stuff. You do it by giving your very best to them, by serving them, and by making sure that you have enough profit margin that you can survive with your family and take care of them. What about a customer? You go into Walmart. You're checking out. How do you serve God as a customer? Well, you watch your mouth. You don't chew out somebody because the price is different. You put out the very best that you possibly can. Why? Because God, your Father, put out the best for you. As a child, how do you serve the Lord in that position as a child? Well, you don't disobey mom and dad. You don't obey them only when they're looking at you. You don't kind of just half-hearted do it. You love to do it. You look forward to helping mom and dad. And if you know that mom and dad ask you to help to do dishes after supper, you do it before they ask. How come? Because God, our Savior, loves us. He went to a cross and took all of our disobedience. He paid for it on the cross, and he is the one who says, stop it. Stop your sinning. Turn back to me. Trust me that I've done it for you, and now show that with how you live. And you know what? In the book of Zephaniah, I don't know if you heard this, I love that verse, that section. I almost wanted to push John away and be the worship leader today because I love that part of Zephaniah. God Almighty, who created us and formed us, who sent his Son to die for us, knowing that we're still going to sin, he exalts over us. He rejoices over us with loud rejoicing. Not like a mom who says, oh, I'm so happy for you, little child. No. Our Father rejoices over us like, oh, I'm so happy for you, child. And he lifts us up and he swings us around and he hugs us. It's a loud, boisterous joy that God does for me, that God does for you. What an incredible gift. How in the world would I ever want to disappoint him? Why would I want to do that? Well, I have a sinful nature. I know that I do. But my God is so good. He even covers over the things that I stumble into. He covers over the falls. He covers over all of that stuff, not just by blinking and looking away, but by taking out the scrub brush that's filled with his blood, scrubbing us clean and reminding us our sins have been forgiven. You may have noticed that the candles today are different. One of them is frequently called pink, but it's not pink. You need to know that that pink candle is actually rose. Because today, in the middle of celebrating Advent, throughout history, today, the church pauses for just a brief second in all this misery to remind ourselves that God kept his promises because he loves us. And that fills us with joy. By the way, the same thing happens in Lent. We don't have different colored candles in Lent, but you look. The third Sunday in Lent, as we're preparing for his crucifixion, the whole church always pauses for just a second to remind ourselves we actually know the whole game plan of God's love for us. So in Jesus' name, be that. Be the Christian that God has called you to be, wherever you may be. If you're active or you're retired, if you're young or you're old, if you're professional or non-professional, the Lord says to follow him. Not because you have to, but because where else do you want to go? I'm on my way to heaven, and so are you. In Jesus' name, let's follow him. Amen.